Today on Real Radio.
Let me tell you right now, reading the Bible is the only way, in my opinion, that God will accurately guide you through this life. I really mean it. Read it. You read it and he'll have you live it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We've been camping on chapter 13 for a bit as Pastor Jack delivers a collection of studies called Finding the Love of Your Life, a four-part mini-series taken from this section of Scripture. Now, in verse 7, Paul lists four aspects of love, which, when taken together, teach us that no matter how desperate our circumstances might be, the perfect love that comes from the Almighty never gives up. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, now continuing his series called Finding the Love of Your Life.
The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is your refuge. Is that awesome? Oh, I need him as my refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Someone say amen. Underneath us are his everlasting arms. And he's got big arms. This bearing love of God is our focus as a believer. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:6, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Listen to this. Casting, verse 7, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How many of you have ever worried about something? Raise your hand. You know what we're supposed to do? I'm looking for something to throw. It means to heave or to throw it. To throw what? The problem. Are you worried about something? God says, right here, right now, throw it to me. Burn it right in here. Come on, give me the fastball. Grab the worry and throw it. You know what? Worrying, we were never supposed to worry, you and I. I like what was said a long time ago. It's a great statement. Worrying is when you and I assume a responsibility that was never intended to be ours. You never see your three-year-old walking around worrying about the mortgage payment. It's not their responsibility. Cast your cares upon the Lord, because he cares for us. And this love bears all things like, and I wrote a few things down, grief. His love bears our grief. I had a woman come up to me Friday night, and she said, Pastor, I want you to know I've come back to church. I was at another church on Friday night, and she's come back to her church. She said, I've been away from church for a long time. I said, can I ask why? She goes, oh, you sure can. I was going to tell you anyway. My 26-year-old daughter was killed. And from that point on, she said, I didn't want to talk to God anymore, and I punished God. I said, how'd you punish God? Because I wouldn't talk to him anymore. I walked out on him. I said, you didn't punish God. You punished yourself. And I said, I have to ask you, was your daughter a Christian when she died? Oh, yes, she's a wonderful Christian. And I said, you know what? Listen, I grieve over your grief, but you've come back just in time because, dear lady, here's the thing. You're going to see your daughter soon. You're going to see your daughter soon. And it's best to see her soon rejoicing in what she's rejoicing in rather than complaining about the sovereign hand of God. Dear lady, your daughter died believing in Jesus. She could have died not believing in Jesus. And that's the difference between heaven and hell. And you'll see your daughter again. Grief. I don't know if you've gone, many of us have gone through grief. I don't know if all of you have. But if you're young and you haven't, time will come and you will. Or maybe you somehow think you've escaped the difficulties of life. You haven't, they're coming. So what are you cheering me up? Boy, you're really cheering me up this morning. It's great. No, listen, Jesus will bear you through the grief of it all, the brokenheartedness of it all. I wrote this down, sorrow. He bears me through my sorrows. Sorrow is connected with disappointment. Grief is associated with tragedy. Sorrow is associated with disappointments. You ever been disappointed? Jesus bears you through the disappointment. What about pain? In the way of suffering, pain. What about fears? Fears are strange things. Because what you don't fear as a young person or as a child, or there's certain fears. When I was a little guy, I don't know what the deal was, but for some reason, the Santa Ana winds, when I was a little tiny kid, when the winds blew at night, I thought it was a Satan outside my window, man. It scared me to death. When the winds blew at night, I was scared. I'd jump in my parents' bed. What is with that? And then as time goes on, you know, your fear seems to go from one thing to another. For many people who are not native to California, it's the thought of an earthquake. Don't even say the word, Pastor. I've heard people say, don't say the word earthquake. Oh, like what? Like I can cause one with my saying the word? But, you know, don't. No. Listen. Fears, they have a sense of transitioning. As you get older, there's a lot of fears and phobias. The book of Proverbs warns us about this. Jesus is there to carry those things. And then there's sins, our sins. The Bible tells us that Jesus bears our sins. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sins. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's that word to bear, to carry. And by his stripes, the beatings of Christ, we are healed. Isn't that amazing? Do you know this Jesus? Have you experienced him? That this is your Christ, the one who bears all these things. He's faithful to bear these things in our lives. He's altogether faithful. Charles Spurgeon writes this. There is the positive and the negative to this word. That his great love in the negative will not retaliate when offended. In the positive, it means that his great love takes on the full force of sin's ugly attack and it shoulders them all. I like that. Jesus Christ shoulders our sins. The Bible tells us in response to this, he said, well, Pastor, what am I to do? Those of us who are Christians, this is the love of God that has been displayed upon us. So what are we to do? It's Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Write it down. Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Isn't that great? You are to care for one another. Now, you guys, listen. I know you're going to hate this. You always hate when I say this. But those of you in your zone, you know you have your zone. I tell you all the time, you got your zone. You guys all show up and sit within the same 10 feet every week of where you're at. Got a little nest going there. Start reaching out to the proximity of those near you. Just get their names. Start to know them. Start to say hello. So, Jack, you're inviting us to get personal. Yep, that's right. That's exactly right. Number two, finding him who's altogether faithful is this. By his faithfulness, he guides me through this life. He guides me. Through this life. Can you say that this morning, that he guides you through? You know that he's guiding you? Let me tell you right now, reading the Bible is the only way, in my opinion, that God will accurately guide you through this life. I really mean it. Read it. You read it, and he'll have you live it. I just made that up. If that's... I like that. It's amazing. Here it says that love, that is Christ, that is how we're to be in this world, believes all things. Boy, this is sure needed in our world today because our world is so pessimistic. It really is. So listen to this. Love believes all things. The word believe here, now you got to hear this carefully. Pistuo is the word, and you would say, Jack, that's the Greek word for faith. Yes, but the context doesn't demand, it's not the word faith, the context demands the word belief. Or believes. Watch this. It means to grant or to extend credit to deploy, to extend or put forth or to offer up the best first. To not be suspicious. Again, Charles Spurgeon writes this. Should a Christian stumble, listen carefully to this. Are you guys listening? You're so quiet, I love it. If you're listening and quiet, that's beautiful. If you're quiet because you're sleeping, then I should have stayed in bed too, I guess. Spurgeon writes, should a Christian stumble or fall in the heat of battle? I've done that. I've stumbled and fallen. I've gotten doubtful or scared or panicked in the heat of battle. Have you ever fallen or stumbled in the heat of battle? This kind of love looks upon the wounded one with thoughts of just how mean and terrible the battle must have been to wound one of my own. That's the way Christ looks at you and I, a believer. You're a Christian and you're living your life, and there's a day when you're stronger for Jesus on Monday than maybe you are on Tuesday. You have your victories and you have your setbacks. We all have that. But instead of Jesus being happy with you on Monday and sad with you on Tuesday, he is looking at you when you and I stumble, and he was saying, my, that must have been a tremendous battle, Jack, you were in to have stumbled. Son, get up. Let me pick you up. Let me hold on to you, and let me get you back into the battle. I mean it. That is valuable to us, that this believing that the love of God looks toward us upon is an encouragement. The Bible tells us in Psalm 103:13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Isn't that great? Well, Pastor, you know, I got to really help God out on this one. No, you know what? He lets you get involved. He knows that we are dust. This is encouraging to me. It doesn't sanction weakness. It takes me from my weakness and sets my feet upon a solid rock. It's encouraging to me. Believing, this believing love of God is our compass. In Psalm 32, verse 8, the Bible says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Will you write that down? Maybe you need that verse. Maybe you need that for your life. Psalm 32, 8, he says, I will instruct you. Don't you want him to instruct you? I do. And teach you. Lord, teach me. You guys, this is an awesome promise. In the way that you should go. Do you need to make a decision? Does somebody need to make a decision about the way they ought to go? Should I marry him or her? This or that? Move here, move there? This church, that church? This direction, that direction? That, what a great verse that is. And he says that he's going to be there. He's going to be the one. And I love it. And he'll guide us with his eye. That's what I want. And he believes. This believes means this. It means that it sustains us in this sense. And this is a real event. Joshua, General Joshua, was getting ready to go into battle. You guys, it's Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Lisa texted me this verse this last week. I was getting a little weak in the heat of battle this week. I had a head trip going on in my mind. Last Sunday, myself and other pastors, we had to be at Dallas Sunday afternoon, and so we got there, left immediately after third service, and got to Dallas, Texas for some schooling, for some classes. And then on Tuesday, the green light was given for us to file in Sacramento at the Attorney General's office the protest against SB 48, to open it up to a challenge and to force it onto the ballot in November. There had to be a few people that signed the affidavit and basically sue the state on this issue. And so this law firm that represents the case said, Jack, we want you to do this. You're used to getting in trouble. You're used to being in the heat of the battle on this. We need you. I'm in Dallas. Well, you got to be in Sacramento at 3:30. So I left Dallas at 12 o'clock Tuesday, and got to Sacramento. I was on the ground for about 65 minutes, signed the documents, got on a plane, and got back to Dallas. And I got to tell you, on the way there, my head was thinking thoughts like this. What am I doing? Why don't I just paint a target on me? And I'm going to, and you know, and Tony Perkins, he called me. He was a great encouragement. He said, Jack, I heard about what's going on. Let me tell you, you need to watch your back. You need to be careful. You need to get a guard dog. You need to get, because this is what happened to me. And I had to build a wall around my house, Jack. And it's all this stuff. And I'm going, yeah, great. And I said, Tony, you're killing me here. You know, because when you're ignorant of stuff, it's better that way. When the doctor says, why don't you step into this next room? Well, if you don't know what's coming, it's like, okay. And then you come out, oh, man. And so he told me all this stuff about what's happened in his life. And I got weak. And I was like wavering in my heart. And Tony encouraged me. He said, Jack, listen. Can you walk away from this battle? I said, absolutely not. I cannot walk away. Even if it kills me, I can't walk away because it's biblical. And he said, okay, then that settles it. And so he gave me Joshua 1:5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you, period. Man, if you believe that, you go, yes, thank you. And I got to tell you, off the record, don't tell anybody. She's not here yet. I had shared with Lisa, I'm wimping out. And then I got on the airplane. I texted her, and then I got on the plane. So by the time I landed, Lisa had a text response to me about that long. And she just let me have it. She said, suck it up, be a man, you're God's warrior. Don't be afraid of their faces, hold your ground. You are, and it's like, man, and I'm, wow. When your wife kicks your tail like that, let me tell you. But we're prone to that, and God speaks to us. His love is faithful to us, and he's an amazing God, and he's a God who guides us, and he's a God who will uphold us, and he's so, so very, very faithful. Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Do you believe that or not? I believe it. And conveyed us, that's transported us, into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's good. God's love is not suspicious towards you. It's not cynical or critical. He loves you in such a way that he wants you to make progress in this walk of faith. And this is what I'm challenging you about as a church. Let's, by all means, get walking. Get walking in this walk of faith. Let's make our faith and life matter. I refuse, and I will pray that God does not allow this church to be a spectator church. But remember, it's that word things again. He will grant us his guiding hand through all these forms, thoroughly, whatsoever, whosoever, the whole sum of each, every, any, all, the total, everything he will guide us through. Under this next point, thirdly, it's this, his faithfulness, he finishes his work in me. He'll finish his work. Verse 7 says that love hopes all things. Now, this is a great word. Please don't misunderstand this word. The word means to wait with expectation. It doesn't mean to wait with hope. That's a different, whole different meaning. To wait with expectation, with full assurance of or for salvation, which means more than what you might think on the surface. It means to wait fully, completely, with confidence. Wow. Hope. Love hopes all things. Love, with all confidence, with all boldness, waits for the expected thing to arrive. Here's what it's not. People will say of us, oh, you stupid Christians, you just hope that you're going to go to heaven. You hope Jesus comes back. And do you hear the tone of that? They have completely misunderstood what the Bible says. We are not hoping Jesus comes back. That's like being a gambler and saying, oh, I hope I get the numbers or the grapefruit or whatever shows up on the thing. That's hoping like luck. A friend of mine the other day said, on the way to Sacramento, a friend of mine said, good luck to you, Pastor Jack, and I text him back, my dear friend, luck will have nothing to do with what God is about to do. Luck. It's like the old Irishman that said, oh, the luck of the Lord be with you. the luck of the Lord be with me. That's gambling, my friend. No way. It is a hope that is absolute. It would better say this. While you and I, Titus 2:13, wait for the blessed, absolute, no doubt about, and certain revelation of Jesus Christ, we're not hoping Christ returns. He's coming. We're not guessing. Oh, he's coming. And so when we look at this hope, love is confident in all things, in all the things we're going through. This hope-filled love of God for us grants us this boldness. Here's a verse every one of us as believers must always remember. I am guessing now. I'm not certain if this is the number one verse, but it's got to be in the top three. Throughout my Christian life, I've repeatedly gone back to for boldness. It's Philippians 1:6. Does anyone not know that verse? Philippians 1:6, it is amazing. The word is being confident. Technically in the Greek, it's this word. Being. See, what does that mean? It means continually over and over again, never stop. You never have to doubt, never have to stop, never have to worry. About confidence. Listen, being confident of this very thing. That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So watch. In this room, there are believers that are advancing. There are believers that are just holding the ground, surviving. There are believers right now in this room or listening right now that are backsliding. They're going backwards. What does the Bible say to us? Be confident of this very thing. That if he has begun a good work in you, I said if. I added that word if. You have to answer that. We say, how do I answer it? Answer this in the silence of your soul. If you're a seasoned believer, but you were once more in love or more effective or more bold in Jesus than you are now, you have slidden back, you're not advancing, you've recoiled, and the Bible says, hey, stand up, let's get moving, because what he started before, he wants to advance from that point. If a Christian is just surviving today, treading water, you're not going forward, you're not going back, you're surviving, he is saying right now, come on, let's go. Be confident in this very thing. I am completing the work that I started in your life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, Finding the Love of Your Life, that's the title of our four-part series, taken from this section of Paul's letter. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, in case you are wondering, we do offer this series, Finding the Love of Your Life, on DVD. It's a four-part message series, might make a nice addition to your library. Now, in Finding the Love of Your Life, Pastor Jack helps us understand this quite familiar passage, 1 Corinthians 13. But this time, we take a good look at God's nature and how he loves. We see that he is altogether humble, consistent, pure, and faithful. That sounds like the right kind of love to me. No wonder it's been said finding him is to find the love of your life. Our offer for your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you this four-part series on DVD, Finding the Love of Your Life. In fact, we're already hearing from Real Radio listeners asking about it. Get yours as soon as you can. Let me say this again. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you this series called Finding the Love of Your Life, a four-part DVD set. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And it's real easy. Just click on the button on the right there that says Special Offer, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to write to us, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.